Amen. The music this morning, though, well done. That song, Bethany, when you were singing, there's that one part and you were like hitting it, and then this one we're like dancing in our seats. So good, so good. This morning, we are continuing. Joe did a fabulous job last week starting us on this sermon series that we're calling Generous Gifts. And we are looking at this same scripture passage 3 weeks in a row with three different preachers. But there's so much generosity in this passage. And so we're going to look at it from three different perspectives. And last week, Joe kicked that off for us. And so we'll pick it up this week. Same passage in the book of Mark, the second chapter of the book of Mark, and we're going to look at those first 12 verses. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, we are grateful because indeed you have done great things for us. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and we pray that you would continue to be present in this place. God, that as we turn to your word, that you would speak, that your spirit would be moving, that we would be so very aware of your presence, Lord, that it would be palpable, molding us and shaping us into the people you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful, we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I invite you to listen now to Mark chapter 2, and I'll read the first 12 verses. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported he was at home. So many gathered around there that there was no room for them, not even in the front. Okay, let me try that sentence again. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed, glorifying God and saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I know that you're still getting to know my family, but I need you to know, especially as we are going into this season, you need to know my husband is a Christmas junkie. He has all these romantic ideas about the magic of the holiday, and all of those ideas he learned from Christmas movies. He loves Christmas movies. Matter of fact, last Saturday he sent a text to my mom to begin a countdown to the Hallmark movies, which I believe began yesterday. Is that correct, Scott? Yes, indeed. Okay. And then Tuesday, I got a text with a link to Netflix 2024 Guide to Holiday and Christmas Movies. So if you need to know when the movies are, Scott has them. We're recording them. You are welcome to come over and watch them with us. We'd love to have you. He's seen all of them and is completely unbothered that it's the exact same movie over and over again, just in a different font. But several years ago, he decided that we were going to live out one of his romantic Hallmark movie dreams, and we were going to go to the Avalon tree lighting. Now, this is when Avalon had just opened. Avalon, if you aren't familiar with the things that happen on the north side of Atlanta, Avalon is a live-work-play community. There's restaurants and shops and condos, and so we were going to go to the Avalon tree lighting. Now, Scott knew that parking might be an issue, and so we Ubered to Avalon so we wouldn't have to deal with parking. And the second we got off the interstate, parking lot. You couldn't even get into Avalon. There are cars parked everywhere. We eventually told our Uber driver, thank you very much, and we get out of the car and walk to the rest of the way to get to Avalon. When we finally get in there, when I tell you it was crowded, that word cannot convey to you the number of bodies that are packed together trying to enjoy the magic of Christmas. Moving was impossible, and we walk up, and Scott turns back with this wild excitement in his eyes, and he said, let's find the tree, and he grabs my arm, but there's nowhere to go. You can't get anywhere, and so he shoves himself into the crowd and begins to pull me behind him, and when I tell you, as I'm being pulled into this crowd, when I tell you, it is full body-to-body contact as I am, like, squeezing my way through, knowing these strangers in a way more personal way than I ever wanted to know them. It was crowded. There was no room. Eventually, Scott got his picture, and I begged him to go home. I don't know if we lived out his romantic Hallmark magic, so if any of you know a small town that is in danger of losing Christmas to the big city, please call Scott because he can help you and get you through. But that kind of crowd, that crowd, that scene where there's people mashed together, body to body, that is the image that I have in my head of this time that Jesus is teaching in his home and all the people are there. I can't exactly figure out why they're all there that night, if Jesus invited all of them or he had just had a couple friends over and then the rest of it got out on Snapchat and they all show up. I don't know, but there's this huge crowd that's gotten together and Jesus doesn't seem bothered. Scripture tells us he is speaking the word to them. And as all of this is happening, here come some people with a man on a mat. My guess is when their Uber dropped them off and they saw the crowds, they thought about the same things that I did as I find myself walking down Highway 120. How are we going to get in there? There's literally this barrier of people blocking them from where they're trying to get. And not only do these guys, some people need to be able to get in through the crowd, but they've got a man on a mat, which is much harder to drag through a crowd than a reluctant wife. And also, I wonder, just as a fun little side note, it said Jesus was at home. I don't know why they didn't just come back the next day when there weren't so many people there. Scripture doesn't tell us anything about who was the man on the mat. It doesn't tell us why he was paralyzed. It doesn't tell us if he was born with this condition or if something happened and he was injured. It doesn't tell us why he's on the mat, but it tells us what we need to know is that this man cannot get up off the mat. That something is holding him in place. He's unable to get up and get through the barrier of people to see Jesus. When we think about our lives, we too experience things that will hold us in place, things that keep us from making our way to Jesus. Maybe it's our own insecurities. Maybe we don't trust ourselves to get to Jesus, or we don't know what we're going to do or say when we get to Jesus. Maybe it's our stubbornness. We are afraid of what Jesus is going to ask us to do. What if Jesus asks us to live differently or asks us to be something more? Maybe it's hurt that keeps us on the mat. Maybe we have been wounded by someone we love. Maybe we have been wounded by the church, even. Maybe it's our guilt and shame that holds us on the mat, shame over what we've done or what we've left undone, shame over ways we have tried to take over for God and in the end made things a bigger mess. We all have something in our lives that keeps us on the mat. And we either refuse to make our way towards Jesus or we find ourselves unable to make our way to Jesus. Joe mentioned just a little while ago that Casey is teaching a mission class here. This is one more quick little, well, probably not. I'll probably say this again at the end. A quick little plug. If you weren't sure if you wanted to stay or not for this class, you do. It's amazing. We met 2 weeks ago for the first time. Today is our second conversation around what it looks like to faithfully serve and do mission in our community and in the world. And she just led this really phenomenal class, and one of the things that she talked about were these things that keep us on the mat. And she talked about how all of us have these things that keep us on the mat, these poverties in our lives that keep us there. Insecurity, stubbornness, wounds, the shame, all of these things are poverties that we might experience in our lives. But she challenged us to remember that there are people in our community that have actual material things that keep them in place, that there is material poverty that we need to recognize about the people around us as well. And so this week, we invited Francis Horton. Francis Horton is the CEO of the Community Assistance Center. The CAC is one of our mission and ministry partners that's at work in our community. And he came and met with the staff this week. He told us that 1 in 7 people in North Georgia are food insecure, that there are 20,000 people in the area who are living below the poverty line, that the food pantry need at the CAC is up 26% this year than it was last year, that at any given point in time, there are 12 to 13 different languages that are represented in their English classes. Over and over again, he was telling us about the intangible, the material poverties that affect the people that are just right here around us. Things that hold people in place, that they are unable to move in a way that leads to a sustainable lifestyle because of these circumstances in their lives. It's a reminder that there are the intangible poverties that all humankind experiences, but there are tangible factors as well that hold people in place. And so while we are on that mat, we feel those things. We feel these things that hold us in place. So all we can see ahead of us is a barrier to living a sustainable lifestyle, a barrier to deep and meaningful relationship with others, or even a barrier to Jesus. We feel those. We experience those. We know those. And that's why these people, the some people this morning in our passage, these unnamed, unidentified people who stepped in, they changed the narrative for the man on the mat. And what's fascinating to me is we have no idea who these people are. Maybe it was his family, maybe they're friends, maybe it's his Bible study from church, maybe it's just benevolent strangers. We have no idea who these people are, and yet they drag in this man on a mat up the stairs to the roof, dig through the roof, and then lower him into the ground, lower him into the house, into Jesus's very presence. We don't know who they are, and we don't know where they came from. The only thing Scripture tells us about them is that they showed up and that they had great faith. And because of that, Scripture tells us that because of their faith, Jesus takes note of this man on the mat, that he forgives him, that he heals him, and that he makes him whole. They showed up. They had faith, and those two things were enough to change this man's story. It was enough to help the man break through the barriers to see Jesus. It was enough to get him into a space that he wasn't going to be able to get into alone. It was enough to free him from that which kept him on the mat, enough that he could pick up his mat and take it to his own home. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. We need to tell ourselves over and over again, the unnamed people, the some people, they didn't save the man. They didn't heal him. Jesus did those things. They showed up. They had faith. Their presence, their faith allowed for this man to be in Jesus' presence when he couldn't seem to get there on his own. And when we look at the scripture, when we look at the Greek words that are used there, in verse 3, it tells us that some people came carrying the man on the mat. But then at the end of the story, in verse 11, Jesus uses the same Greek word to tell the paralytic man to get up and carry his mat home. They showed up and they were faithful, and because they joined into the work of Christ, the man was freed from his mat to get up, and then he was able to move forward, living into a sustainable lifestyle, freed from that which has held him down before, free to continue to live into that which Jesus is calling him to do. This is what we are called to do. This is the work of Kairos Church. This is what Clark has been talking about this morning. This is who we are. We are people who show up. We are people who have faith that we know what it means to be freed from a mat, and therefore we are going to make sure that we're showing up and we are having faith so that others will know that freedom as well, that we are joining in the work of Christ in our community and in our world. That's why we do community prayer. That's why you stand up when we have community prayer and you're willing to share and be vulnerable to this community and know that that is why the rest of you are holding that space sacred and committing to pray for people, because we show up and we have faith. This is why Morgan and Zach Hogue, after their accident in the spring, every time I called to check on them or I would go to their house, there are Kairos people there or have just been there. You brought the meals and wheelchairs and prayers. Morgan told me that you met needs they didn't even realize that they had. It's why on Volunteer Appreciation Sunday, when we asked for anyone who teaches children or youth to come forward, the whole front is full of people so we can make a celebration tunnel for you to run through. It's why this year, for the first time in Kairos' story, we had a confirmation class that we confirmed 4 students in their faith, baptizing 2 of them. It's why this past year we gave over $79,000 to our mission ministry partners all over the world, because we know it changes the narrative for people. When Francis was here this past week with the staff, he told the story of a time that there was a man sitting at the CAC. He was just sitting there, and Francis kept asking, do you need help? And the man said no, he was waiting for Mrs. Janet. Curious, Francis asked him, why? And he told Francis that he was from Granada and he had been at the CAC several years ago, that he had taken the English classes, that he had received help, and he had come that morning to show his volunteer that worked with him, Miss Janet, his certificate of citizenship. His life was changed. His narrative for him, for his family, it was changed. And it was changed because you have been generous, because you have showed up, because you have continued to be faithful, because you are making an impact in our community. You show up and lives are changed. People can hear Jesus telling them to get up off the mat and take it home because you've been faithful. This is the ministry of Kairos Church. This is who you are. And that is why our commitment to this community, our commitment to what's going on here, this is why it's crucial. Because we know there are still so many in our community and in our world that feel that confinement to their mat. And because we know that being in the presence of Jesus makes a difference. And so we commit then to this community. All of us make a commitment to being part of this community, to worship together, to pray together, to study the word together, to serve together, and yes, to be financially generous together. That's why we have this whole season where we're focusing on generosity and making these commitments for 2025, because we know that God's doing big things and we want to keep being a part of that. We want to join in the work that Jesus is doing. We want to keep dreaming and discerning and going where God calls us next, whoever God introduces us to next, how we will prayerfully discern how God's calling us to show up and to be faithful. And so, yes, this morning, we want you to scan the QR code. And I want you to do that because I want you to see all of the Bible studies that are there that you can participate in and be part of. I want you to scan it and see all of the ways that you can serve and be part of the service that's going on here. But I also want you to scan it and see the place that you can make a financial commitment for 2025. Because this is what we do to show up and be faithful for one another and for our community. This is who we are. And this is what we give thanks for. May it be so in your life and in mine. Let me pray for us. Holy God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are at work in ways that are bigger than we could possibly ask or imagine. Lord, that we have continued to know the gift that you give us. And so help us, Lord, to be generous as we go forward, that people would hear that call to get off of their mat. Because you have worked through us, because we have been faithful, because we have shown up. God, be present. In your name we pray. Amen.